Let's pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to begin this Easter sermon with an uncontroversial opinion that Frank Sinatra's My Way is the worst song in the English language. The choir apparently disagrees profoundly based on their silence. It's okay if you like My Way. There is a standing policy at St. Albans that we will not play it at funerals. But the thing that I have an issue with about this song is just the sort of unrepentant, unabashed, two-year-old, me-do-it sort of attitude about the whole thing. That life is up to me. It's all up to me. I'm the center of the show, and I'll do it my way. And it's just so obvious, if you just pay attention to life for about 5 seconds, that almost nothing is up to you. And if you have been paying attention for the last year, if you needed any help, a remedial tutorial in your lack of control, the last 12 months have done it. We don't control anything. I mean, I remember when the pandemic hit a year ago, we thought we'd be done by Easter, and here we are, the second Easter of pandemic time. Yet, even in spite of all this, we still hold on to this idea. It is so seductive and so delightful to us that we could be in control and that we could make things come out differently. Even in faith, even in the church world where I kind of spend most of my time, and you as a person who's watching a church service on Facebook instead of the endless scrolling, maybe you are someone who is a faith kind of person who has a religious belief, and you come to church. Studies show it adds about 4 to 10 years to your life if you go to church every week, so just saying. If you are that person, even though you know Jesus take the wheel, we often fall back into this control mindset that I have to do all the things. You see it in the way we think about how we have to understand everything. You know, you can't really be a Christian until you understand all the fine points of the theology. You can't get baptized until you get it all. You can't get confirmed until you understand everything. Sometimes people feel like they're not a very good Christian unless they do all the churchy things. Know the Bible better, go to church more, study theology more deeply, just be a nicer person, don't lose your temper as much. Do you know maybe a few of the Ten Commandments you could follow? I have a friend who, when he was in seminary, felt like he wasn't a very good Christian, and he polled the room. A bunch of other seminarians were in the room, and he said, just out of curiosity, who feels like they're not doing a very good job at being a Christian? And every single hand in the room went up. We all think that we have to get it done on our own, that we have to make the grade and perform up to some standard. My way. Even when we pray, it's so often people say, God, give me strength. The implication being, give me strength so that I can then go do the thing. So today's passage from the Gospel of John, this incredible Easter story, so rich in detail and just so fun to read all the little things that John puts in there. This story shows that we, people who like to do it our way and often muck it up, we can get it all wrong and everything can still turn out all right, which is good news, especially for people that try to take control and make things come out the way we want and fail. It's good news that we can get it all wrong and it still turn out all right. So just in this passage, just with walking, I want to walk through it with you a little bit. Briefly, I mean, just note that it begins on Easter Sunday morning. The resurrection has happened. It is Easter Sunday, but zero people on earth know it. Even the disciples, even though they heard Jesus say over and over and over, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die and I'm going to rise from the dead. and they never understood it. So that's sort of their beginning with strike one. They get to the tomb, and it takes them quite a while to figure out that Jesus has done exactly what he told them he would do, which is rise from the dead. So they see that the stone has been rolled away. Mary goes in and sees that nobody is there, and so she runs back to the disciples and tells them that they, not that he's risen, just like he said, that someone has stolen the body. And so then John and Peter engage in a little foot race to get to the tomb. I love that John includes that he won the race to the tomb. Just FYI, no one's keeping score, but if you wondered, John won. And so, but John is a little creeped out by tombs and things like that, so he doesn't want to look. Peter just gets there, you know, bringing up the rear and pokes his head in and sees Jesus not there. He does see that the grave clothes, the linen wrappings, are folded up neatly, and the head wrapping is separate from the others, and it's all very hospital corners kind of situation. To which he doesn't think, oh, just like he said, Jesus, who was always apparently neat and tidy in life, also in resurrected life, post-death, he's the same way. He did rise, just like he said. No, his thought is, huh, what tidy grave robbers. He still misses the point and just sort of walks away, shaking his head. They just go home. Mary stays weeping by the tomb. And while she's there, she now looks in and sees two angels. And these are, I mean, angels. Angels at Hobby Lobby are cute. Angels in real life are not cute at all. They're these terrifying kind of angelic beings. And as she sees them, she doesn't say, oh, again, angels. I'm seeing divine beings, spiritual beings on earth with my own eyes. Now I see he must have done exactly as he said and risen from the grave. Nope, she keeps crying. So that the angels, I can imagine them looking at each other, maybe a little, does she not get what's going on? And so they ask her, why are you weeping? And she says, to the angels, they've taken away my Lord. The grave robbers, these very neat and tidy grave robbers, have taken away my Lord. And I don't know where he is. Then, still not getting it, she turns to see Jesus. Jesus is there in the flesh, resurrected from the dead, just like he said he would do. He speaks to her, woman, why are you weeping? Same question that the angels asked. Maybe he's like, I'm just going to give her another shot. Who are you looking for? You know, it's like a softball. He's just teeing it up so easily for her. And she thinks he's the gardener. She gets it wrong again. And she's trying to be nice to the gardener. You know, I won't tell your boss. If you've taken the body, a crime, and gross, just tell me where he is, and I'll go get him, and I'll take care of it, and it'll just be between us. Finally, and you've got to imagine there's sort of love and a little kindly exasperation, Mary, finally, hearing her name, she realizes who it is. And there's a lot there. That's a whole sermon in of itself, Jesus knowing you and speaking lovingly to you individually. But I think what I want to lay before you and for me is this fact that we can get it all wrong. We cannot understand what's happening. We cannot be aware that the resurrection is real, and it doesn't change for one second the fact that it is. It doesn't change for one second the fact that Jesus has defeated sin. If you still feel guilty for all the things you did, especially that one thing, it doesn't change the fact that your sin is forgiven. If you still fear death or are still grieving the loss of someone this year or the loss of whatever you thought your life would be by this point, and it's all been wrecked by the pandemic, or whatever unforeseen chaotic event that's happened to you. If you are grieving that and are stuck in that, if death of a person or death of a dream or death of a thing has just got you in its grip, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. If you still are trapped in despair, it doesn't change the fact that the tomb is empty. And the Lord has burst forth and has reconciled you to God, the one who loves you and has given you infinite worth and value. Even if you have no clue, even if you're stuck in your brain chemistry or your procrastination or all the things you don't like about yourself, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is alive, even if you think he's just the gardener. This is the wonderful thing. Life can look normal, seem normal, feel normal, and yet everything has changed. So in this pandemic, this weary slog that we've been through over this past year, when it feels like we're still not quite out of it, yet Jesus Christ is victorious over death and has given us the promise of eternal life. I don't know a single person who's not sort of living with one foot kind of in a stuck place, and yet still sort of hoping that something might get better at some point. And that's what we see in this John story. The disciples are still kind of stuck. They don't get it. And they won't even get it for a little while. The story continues. And yet Jesus hasn't let go of them. Even if they don't get him, he gets them. You can get it all wrong, and it can still turn out all right. Death is still vanquished. Sin is defeated. Your slate is wiped clean. Eternal life is before you. The good news of John chapter 20 and the Easter story is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead had nothing to do with Peter, who had denied Christ 3 times, not 48 hours before. It had nothing to do with John, who, even writing a gospel, lets a little point of pride tell you who won the race. It has nothing to do with Mary, who failed about 13 times to recognize who Jesus was in this story. And the resurrection has nothing to do with you and how well you've done as a Christian or not. The resurrection stands, and because of it, we take hope in the promise of eternal life, of forgiveness of sins, and the freshest of fresh starts, now and always. Amen.
Please stand as we say together the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Clothe your ministers with righteousness. Let your people thank you with joy. Give peace, O Lord, in all the world. For only in you can we live in the Lord, keep this nation under your care and guide our own way. Let
as your way be known upon earth,
your saving help upon all men.
Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten,
nor the humble of the poor who faith in the world.
Create in us true hearts, O God,
and sustain us with your holy spirit.
Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gates of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to bring peace to those who are far off and to those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold. Pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Hasten the coming of your kingdom. In Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O most mighty and merciful God, in this time of grievous sickness, we flee and indeed will suffer. Deliver us and beseech you from our peril. We strengthen and skill to all those who minister to the sick. Prosper the means they use us for their cure. And grant that perceiving how frail and uncertain our life is, we may apply our hearts to that heavenly wisdom which leads to eternal life. In Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This time you are invited to add your own prayers and intercessions, thanksgiving aloud or in the comments or in the silence of your own heart. Pray for all of our mission partners. We pray for All Saints PMB and their rector, Father Lucius Domingo. We pray a blessing over all who were baptized with the Easter Vigil. You who fill them with your grace, they may grow in the knowledge and love of you. And we give you thanks on this day for your resurrection. Pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Well, happy Easter. We're so delighted that you've joined us here for this service. I want to let you know that if you are a local here in Waco, we invite you to join us next Sunday. We have services online as well as in person outdoors, and we would love to have you with us. If you are somebody who's joining us from far away, we would love to get connected to you. You can go to our website and fill out a visitor card, and we will be in touch with you that way. I want to say a special thank you to those of you that gave generously to provide the lilies behind me and the brass to my right and the way you have beautified our worship with your generosity. And we give thanks to you, and we give our prayers as we give thanks for the memory of those in whom these gifts were given, or in thanksgiving for those for whom they're given. If you are local, it's just a little bit after 9 o'clock. At 10:30, you can come to St. Albans if you have children for an egg hunt. Easter egg hunt will be taking place at 10:30 here at St. Albans, so we invite you to join us for that. Also, if you have kids, this summer, Vacation Bible Camp is coming up. That registration will be on our website, and we would love to have you and your kids participate in that this summer. As we now come to the offering, where we give back to God through our praise and thanksgiving, gratitude for what He's shown to us, we also give from what He's bestowed upon us, those financial resources which support the ministry and life of the church. And since we can't physically pass one of these around in this service, we ask you to go to our website. And if you see that blue circle that says Give, just click on that, and it couldn't be simpler to support the mission and ministry of St. Albans. God bless you and keep you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.